Possessions are not the problem, but relying on your possessions to get you through life is a problem. And now you're worried. Oh, I'm just a worrywart. I just, you know me. I like to worry. Hey, listen, when it comes to the Bible, that's not a commendable quality. What you're saying is, I don't trust God. Folks, I'm not telling you to sit back, relax, and just wait for someone to take care of your needs. You have to work hard. You have to work smart. Do those things. But worry is a sin. Did you hear that? Worry is a sin. What worry says is, I can't trust God.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Treasure by Dr. Abadan Paul Shaw of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in our homes, in our church, and in our community. Come visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or check us out online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
About 10 years ago, back in 2009, Terry Herbert, he was an out-of-job factory worker in England, took his metal detector to his friend's farm, and he had been doing this for 18-some years, and this time, that metal detector actually went off, and there was a glittering piece of metal that turned out to be a gold artifact. And before he knew it, that metal detector began to buzz all over the place. Anybody remember that? That hit the news, National Geographic, everything. And before they knew it, archaeologists, museums began to buzz over all over the place. They had found an old Anglo-Saxon treasure from 1,400 years ago. And altogether, about 4,000-some pieces of gold and silver were found just a few inches below the surface. It was unbelievable. It made headline news, and now you can go see it in the museums in England. But the only thing the archaeologists and the scholars who began to examine those pieces of gold, they could look at the artwork, and they could look at some inscriptions and kind of date it, but they could never find who it belonged to. Now, how does that tie in with our message this morning? Earthly treasures cannot be permanently owned. Whatever you have right now, maybe it's a piece of land, maybe it's stuff, some antique table or china or whatever it is that you prize so much. This is mine. One day, someone else is going to own it. You say, oh, I'm going to give it to my kids and my grandkids. Maybe it'll stay in the family for a generation or two, or maybe it'll be gone before you even start decaying. Earthly treasures cannot be permanently owned. What you treasure today will belong to someone else tomorrow. The only treasure that you can permanently own is what you put in heaven's bank account, what you use to build the kingdom of God. That's the only treasure that you can say, that's mine, and it will always stay mine. This morning, we're back in our series on the parables of Jesus, and we come to the parable of the rich farmer, and it's called treasure. You have your Bibles with you? Turn to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, and let's once again stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke 12, verse 16. Then he, meaning Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, he said, I'm going to have a conversation with self. Technically, it's called a soliloquy. He's having this monologue with himself. And the conversation goes like this. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But before he could answer back to himself, God interjects and said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? Whatever you're treasuring right now, this is mine, this is my stuff. It's been passed down. I'm going to pass it down. Tonight, if your soul is required of you, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure. By the way, that word treasure, thesaurus. That's from where we get our word thesaurus. It's a dictionary we use it for now that contains words. So also, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Question this morning. Are you that rich farmer who trusted in his possessions? Are you that person who's got that something? And by the way, you don't have to be wealthy to be rich. You may only have $100 in your bank account or in your pocket, but you're holding on to them. You're trusting in it. That's your security. So it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or you just got that $100. It's your attitude towards it. If you're obsessed by it, if you're trusting in it, and that is your security for the future. Hey, listen, today's message is for you. And are you saved? You say, I'm good. Here's the question. If you tonight your soul is required of you, where will you go? He said, I'm good. Here's my statement to you, and it's not original to me, but it's really challenged me through the years. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Where do you stand? And if you do not know Christ, would you pray this way? Jesus, I don't understand everything. I may not have the understanding of even who you are, but today I know I need help. I need help. And whatever that help means, I pray the simple prayer, save me. And pray this way. Pray, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and take over. And then teach me what it means to be forgiven. Teach me what it means to let you take over. Unlike the previous parables, the parable of the rich farmer is somewhat troubling at first glance. I mean, think about it for a moment. If we're truly honest, what is his crime? What did he do wrong? I mean, go back to verse 16 for a moment. This man, it says, his ground yielded plentifully. I mean, what's wrong with that? Don't you want to be blessed? Anything wrong with having a bumper crop? Anything wrong with making a good deal? Anything wrong with getting a raise at your job? Nothing. Again, in verse 17, it says, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Anything wrong with that? Nothing. He is a visionary. He knows that if he doesn't do something, the crop is going to stay out in the open. The elements will destroy it. Everything will get rotten. So he is thinking ahead. He is planning for the future. Anything wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that as well. What's the next thing? Verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, he has this conversation with self, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Again, I ask the same question. What is wrong with what he said? Nothing wrong with that, because that is a reward of a well-planned life. How many of you would love to have things laid up so you can retire? Many of you have retired. You have invested well. You have used your money wisely. And now you're able to do things and go places and know that if something happens tomorrow, you have enough saved up to take care of your needs. So nothing is wrong with what has happened so far. It seems like this rich farmer, rather than being a villain, is actually a model. That's how we should be. Blessed, planning ahead, saving up for the retirement. It's a good thing. But then there is a reason why Jesus gave this parable. Because he is the villain. To understand the reason, we have to back up and look at the whole context in which Jesus gave this parable. We have to back up three verses to Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. I want you to hear this again. Verse 13 says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" Now keep in mind, if you've been in this series with me for the past couple of weeks, that Jesus is in a travel motive. It's known as the travel narrative in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 9:51, it says that when Jesus knew that the time had come for him to be ascended, that he set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew it was not just about being born in a manger. It was just not enough to be the perfect Son of God. It was not enough just to come and heal the sick and feed the hungry and preach the gospel. He came for one purpose, which is what? To give his life for us, to die on the cross for the sins of every human being. When Jesus knew the time had come, he set his face toward Jerusalem. In fact, it was a fulfillment of a prophecy. Isaiah talks about it. In Isaiah 50 verse 7, he says, "Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Ezekiel talks about it too in Ezekiel 3:9. "Like adamant stone." Adamant means he is determined. He is resolute. There is no turning back. "Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." When Jesus knew within himself, maybe through the Holy Spirit, it is time. He did not dilly-dally. He did not hesitate. It was time. His feet picked up speed. His eyes locked towards Jerusalem. His mind was consumed with what is coming. He has come as the perfect Lamb of God to give his life for us. There is no turning back. He has to do this. He has to drink the bitter cup that we were meant to drink. And as he's making his way, he hears this voice. "Teacher, can you please tell my brother to share?" He says in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" My translation is, "Dude, do you really think I came for that purpose?" He said to them, this is very important because this is the reason why he gave the parable. He said what? "Take heed and beware of," it's on the screen, "covetousness." Listen to what Jesus would say. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." You see, this is the context in which Jesus gave the parable of the rich farmer. It's not wrong to be blessed. It's not wrong to be successful. It's not wrong to plan ahead. It's not wrong to save up for retirement. What's wrong is covetousness, the desire to acquire more. Then Jesus gave this parable. The rich man has a conversation with himself, and he says, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take and your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" He didn't even get a chance to answer because God steps in and he calls him what? What's the word? Fool. By the way, did you know that word for fool in the Greek is aphron? You say, why is that important? Because that's the same word used in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but then later it was translated into Greek, which is known as the Septuagint. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the same exact Greek word is found. Aphron. Would you like to know where it's found? Here it is. "The fool has said in his heart," what? "There is no God." It's the word that is addressed to the atheist, the one who says there is no God. You know, the problem with this rich farmer, he was a practicing atheist. He was living his life just for self. Just like some of you here this morning, you believe in the church. "Oh, I love Pastor Shaw because he preaches the word. I love the church. I love the worship. Oh, I love the programs. All those things are wonderful. You are a church-going person. You are a moral person, but you are a practicing atheist. So what did God say to him? Go back to that verse again. He said, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" If your soul is required of you right this minute, if you have a heart attack and die, or going through a traffic light, someone hits you, all that you have on you is no longer yours. It's over. He says, "Mine." No, it's not. Someone else is going to be pulling it apart. You see, the Bible is such a powerful book. It speaks to us today in 2019 as it did 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. Verse 21, it says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The problem again was not with his success or planning ahead or retirement. The problem was that this rich farmer was only living for self. He had no regard for God. Now, if Jesus would have ended here, what we would say is, well, don't live for stuff. Right? Just don't live for stuff. Live for God. But he doesn't end there, because he goes on in verse 22. Now here, it gets close. It begins to speak to us. Listen to what Jesus says. He turned to his disciples and said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." What? "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." Jesus was not telling his disciples, don't plan your lives. What he was saying is, don't be overcome by worry. The word is merimanao, which really means paralyzing anxiety. Possessions are not the problem, but relying on your possessions to get you through life is a problem. And now you're worried. Oh, I'm just a worry war. I just, you know me, I like to worry. Hey, listen, when it comes to the Bible, that's not a commendable quality. What you're saying is, I don't trust God. Folks, I'm not telling you to sit back, relax, and just wait for someone to take care of your needs. You have to work hard. You have to work smart. Do those things. But worry is a sin. Did you hear that? Worry is a sin. What worry says is, I can't trust God. I mean, think about it this way. If you were to say, "Pastor Shah is a great pastor. He's a wonderful leader. He's a wonderful manager or whatever. There's only one problem. You can't trust him." What would you do with that? I mean, with one statement, you completely took the legs out from under me. God is a holy God. God is a loving God. God is a powerful God. You just can't trust him. And then Jesus appeals to nature at this point to make his case. He says, "Consider the ravens." By the way, ravens were known as unclean birds. He said, "Look at these worthless, unclean birds, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn," right? "And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Look at the unclean birds. God takes care of them. He will take care of you. Worry is not commendable. He doesn't stop there. Listen to the next line. "Of which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" I mean, can you get taller by thinking about it? That'd be great, wouldn't it, for some of you, right? No, you can't. Doesn't stop there. Listen to verse 26. "If you then are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious for the rest?" Anxiety. Verse 27. "Consider the lilies, how they grow." By the way, did you notice how Jesus uses nature to make his case about not worrying? You know, when it comes to relaxation and rest, would you like to know the best way to reduce stress? It's nature. Get outside for a while. It has an amazing way of bringing your body down to zero. So what happens here? Jesus says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And then it says, "If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" Say with me the last line. "O you of little..." How in the world is that connected to possessions? Listen, the problem is faith. You have a faith issue. And by the way, this applies not just about possessions, it's a plot about life. It applies in every area of your life. Verse 29, Jesus says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind." You know, this is in the Bible. "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." God, your Father, knows. But seek what? Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And then verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you," what's the word? "The kingdom." So let's put something on the board since everybody loves my drawings. All right, so here we go. This is your life. Ends here, and that's death. And you are busy putting it into this pot. This is your pot of gold. Everything is here going into this pot. Why? Because I'm saving it up. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how life will turn out. I'm putting it away. I'm saving it. I don't believe we have enough. We need more. What are we supposed to do? Put it somewhere where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and cannot break in and steal, which means what? Put it in your heavenly bank account. How do you put money into this account? Well, Jesus actually tells us. Look at the very next verse, which is verse 33. Are y'all ready with this? Okay. Can you read it with me? "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." Sell all and give alms. Doesn't mean that you have to take everything you have and say, "All right, we're going to sell the house, we're going to sell everything and give it away." What it does mean is you begin to help others who are in need. Did you get that? How many of y'all found that to be a revelation this morning? That building treasure in heaven is not by, "I need to read the Bible more, I need to pray more, I need to witness more." All those things are great and you should do that. But building treasure is by meeting the needs of those who are less fortunate. You know, we did this I Am the Neighbor project. I hope you got it. But there's always that critic, the self-proclaimed critic. "Well, you know, what I think, you know." Oh, who cares what you think? Be quiet. Honestly, I care more about what Jesus thinks. Right? I mean, when did the Trinity make you God? Because they didn't inform us, okay? But that challenge is so beautiful because we gave away $25,000 two weekends ago. Unbelievable. I never imagined in our life, in our ministry, our leaders, when we talked about it, that $25,000 would be given away in one weekend. And everybody got a cross with the gospel around it, but then every family unit got a cross with a $100 bill. How many of y'all have read the testimonies on the Facebook page? Yeah, y'all seen the testimony? We are also seeing the testimony cards coming in, and it's unbelievable. People are actually stopping and helping others in need. Last night, there was a couple here, young couple, and he was, the guy was with his dad, farmers, they were going somewhere, and saw a guy at the side of the road stuck. He comes around and shares the gospel with them, gives him that cross with a $100 bill. I mean, it's unbelievable what God is doing. People are looking for, and it's not easy, by the way, right? You have to go find those people. The Holy Spirit does not let you rest until you find that person and you are able to give them. Many times they're saved, many times they're not. Sometimes they're not saved. And it's not just, here's a $100 bill. There's a cross. There's a gospel around it. Repent, believe, and follow. You know what we're really doing? Are y'all awake this morning? We're helping you put things in the account from which you can draw forever. We're doing you a favor so you can have something to draw from, because where you are putting all your stuff, guess what? It's not going to be yours the moment you die. Listen to this last line. Verse 34, say it with me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here's the thing, folks. If your heart is here, if your treasure is here, this is where your heart is. Somebody needs to wake up this morning. If everything you have done in this life is for here, this is where your heart is, which means what? You are not saved. I don't know, maybe I need to get another Jesus to come and help you out. I mean, put that verse back on again. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Who said that? Who said that? Jesus did. So if everything you have done is only for this life, this is where your heart is. You're not going on to the other side. But what if you are making an investment on this side? That's where your heart is. Now, I know there are people here this morning who feel convicted. He said, you know what? I haven't done enough to help others in need. I haven't done enough. That's great. Conviction is what gets you on the right path. And I'm not saying you're not saved. You just need to start doing things. You don't need another message. You don't need another Bible study. What you need to do is say, Jesus, if this is the truth, why do I rationalize how I need to hang on to my money? I need to learn to give it and help people in need.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Too often we're focused on amassing earthly wealth and we forget to store treasures up in heaven. We need to be making deposits in our heavenly bank account that we can benefit from in eternity. Take a look at your life. Where's your treasure stored? And if you're not making deposits in your heavenly bank account, maybe you never opened one in the first place. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.